Hey, Shipper City, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the episode, do me a favor and consider tapping that support this podcast link in your favorite podcast player. Every little bit helps us stay on the air and keeps us creating the content that you love.
Be sure to follow along on social. We are on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at iShipItPod. You can head over to the website, iShipItPod.com, to sign up for email updates when new episodes are released. And you can send us emails at iShipItPod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to, and tell your friends that you ship it. So take a second, do all of that while you enjoy a word from our sponsors.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, phantom seed. What?
I don't care. I ship it. I don't care. I ship it. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Friends, I am so excited because I made a new friend very quickly this week. So fast. And for some reason, she agreed to be on the podcast within 2 seconds of me saying hi. And so here she is. We are joined this week by Lori McCullers. Hey, Lori.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Welcome to Shipper City.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Yes, as soon as somebody said, you want to talk about nerdy things? Yes, of course.
It was absolutely the fastest I've ever been. Like, I think I have an idea for an episode. Wonder if anybody in the world would want to talk to me about this with me. And it was like 2 seconds. I put it out into the internet and then it was like, bam, there. And I felt like what's her face from Annie Potts in Ghostbusters. Like, we got one. How I feel every time somebody wants to talk to me on this podcast. So,
well, as soon as somebody says, let's talk about nerdy stuff, I'm like, oh, come on now. Yeah. So,
well, you have come to the right place. That is all awesome. We talk about here in Shipper City is nerdy
stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, welcome. Let's learn a little bit about you, Lori. Can you give me some background, just like what your fangirl life has looked like thus far?
Oh yeah. So I have been, so I'm a little older. I'm on the older side of the fandom. So I'm like, I'm 47. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of geeky before geeky was a thing, before it was cool, let's say. And so oddly enough, I actually, Doctor Who is like sort of my main fandom. Mm-hmm. And I actually started watching Doctor Who when I was in middle school, believe it or not. So this was mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And not a single soul that I knew watched any kind of any, you know, they had no idea what I was talking about. So I had to keep it under wraps because people were like, Time Lord, Fourth Doctor, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So
also, it was a bit deeply underfunded British TV show in the US in the 80s. So.
Yes. And that was the thing is like, you know, it was old episodes that they would show on PBS and, mm-hmm. you know, so Tom Baker was my first Doctor. Mm. But I have been, you know, sort of the geeky kid my whole entire life. There are pictures of me at age 4 wearing my Princess Leia space buns.
Yes.
So I've, and my underoos, I don't know if anybody out there remembers underoos, but I had the R2-D2 and so it's kind of ingrained in me.
Oh, I love it. I love it
and,
so much.
Yep. I was the first kid that at age 8, I was, learning how to program my Commodore 64 in BASIC. So if that tells you anything.
Oh, that's so good. That makes me so happy. I just love it. That whole image that you just painted, that whole picture was just beautiful. So do you, as far as like experience, like going in, I mean, we talked prior to before we started recording about where you live, there's like a lot of like fan expos and experiences and things. And I totally want to hear about all of that. But as far as like fanfic or fan art or anything like that, is that a piece of this world that you explore, that you do, that anything like that?
Absolutely. So I love fan fiction. I don't write it because my attention span is next to nothing when it comes to actually doing things. So, but I read fan fiction, and of course, you know, I hyperfixate on things. So, you know, I may be really into, like right now, weirdly, I'm into a lot of Mandalorian fan fiction.
All right. No shame in that game.
Yeah. So right now that's my big thing right now is Mandalorian fan fiction. But, you know, Star Wars, lots of that, Doctor Who, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do enjoy the fan fiction for sure.
Can I ask have you always read fanfic like when you were growing up, or was it something that you found kind of later on? Cause there's been like a split of like people who have been lifelong fans, and then when they were older realized, oh my God, people write this. Or there's other people who are like, oh yeah, I was printing it off in fifth grade and reading it.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is like, since I am a little older, mm-hmm. I had to come to it a little older because
true. Yep.
Back in my day, we didn't have the internet.
The internet came in the mail.
Exactly. So, So that was the thing is that, you know, I didn't really start reading it until, you know, probably 20-ish, mm-hmm. you know, 20 to 23 or so years ago, yeah. You know, with the internet and you know, chat boards and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where it got started for me, mm-hmm. you know, as more of an adult actually. So, yeah.
Right. Right. What do you remember what the first kind of fix that you were looking at, or was it just kind of all mismatched?
It was all mismatched because it was just like, hello world. you know, so it was one of those things where I would find something and again, that hyperfixation kicked mm-hmm. in and, you know, yep. I'd find something and just be like, oh yes. And consume. And then, you know, move on to something else. So,
right.
Yeah.
So you had said before we were talking about like, cause where you live, there's just a big mega center of stuff that happens.
Of all the good things. Yes.
All the good things. So you had just gone to a Harry Potter expo?
Yes. So, there's a Harry Potter exhibition, mm-hmm. That is sort of traveling the country. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, I went to it yesterday and it was amazing. It's one of those things where you go through and they have, you know, props and things from the various movies, and they have rooms set up that look like different things, you know, and you can have your picture made, obviously. And so there's, you know, you walk in and there's the Great Hall with the floating candles and mm-hmm. Hagrid's hut where you can sit in this big, huge Aww. Armchair. Yeah. And so, so of course I'm walking through there just like, you know, beaming from ear to ear because it was amazing. It was so fantastic. And so if the Harry Potter exhibition comes anywhere near where you live, I highly mm-hmm. recommend it. It was so good. So good.
That sounds awesome. And then you said you're going to Stranger Things.
Yeah. So in a couple of weeks
as well.
Yeah. In a couple of weeks doing there's a Stranger Things, exhibition that's going on. Kind of the same, I think it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
And then actually a couple of days after that, I'm going to the Star Wars, exhibition where it's all like fan, it's all like props and memorabilia and things that have all been collected by fans, and they have put it all together in this big exhibition.
So cool.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see that. So yeah. So this is all things that people have collected over the years, and they say it's, you know, it's huge. This is, so all Star Wars. So, which is great. And I'm doing those two things like in the same week. So that's, yeah, it's like Geek Week. It's great.
Geek Week for Lori. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so jealous, but you're going to have such an amazing time. So I am just chartreuse with envy right now, but that's awesome. But since you've been kind of a lifelong fangirl, which I love, and like actually like from I'm thinking like age 4, that's just so cute,
right?
do you have any like kind of lifelong friends or even just really close friends that you made through your experiences, fans of something, or just kind of like what are those connections?
Absolutely. So, so I have met, so I've met friends of mine who, you know, it was one of those things where maybe it was like, you didn't know that they were sort of fans, mm-hmm. when you met them. And then mm-hmm. you start kind of, you know, dropping things and they're like, oh, I like that too, you know? So yep. it may not have been absolutely, you know, maybe we didn't meet in a fandom related way, but mm-hmm. it was one of those things where as soon as you start talking, you're like, oh, you like so such and such? I do too. And so, so now like, I have a, like a really nice group of sort of, geeky girlfriends that mm-hmm. I do things with. And we all go to Dragon Con together, which if anybody knows what Dragon Con is, it's a huge, sci-fi and pop mm-hmm. culture, thing here in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And, you know, and so, so yeah, so, and it's great because we all keep each other apprised of things like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And so that's always nice.
I love that. Have you, I don't know if they do that in, if they do this in your area, but do you guys ever, have you ever been to a Geek Girl brunch?
No.
Oh, Lori, you have to check it out. Actually, it just sounds like you guys might just be able to do it yourselves because you have your own little unit there. But yeah, it's a really fun thing. I found it when I lived in Portland. It's a sort of a national organization of exactly what it sounds like, geek girls who meet up together monthly or every other month to have like themed, geek themed brunches.
Oh, that
like party favors and everybody dresses up and they go to, you know, they decorate the restaurant, whatever they pick. And then everybody has brunch and mimosas and talks about whatever geeky thing it is. So awesome.
Okay. Well, that it's official. I'm going to have to look it up and see yes. if there see is, if there's one chapter. Here. Yeah.
And if not, you can start one, girl.
I think I've got, I think I have the chops, the background. So I think,
Yeah. and then just the last thing, because you had said that you have, you are an on-air personality. Can you tell me about your, where people can find you if they want to hear your delightful accent and hear you a little bit more throughout the
people
week?
People are probably listening to this going, what in the world? where is this poor woman
where
from?
Where is this woman from?
Yeah, so if you want to check me out, I am on a show online. It is not geek related, weirdly enough. So in my real life, I actually am a content creator for a company. We actually make, crafting things. So if you like crafts, I am your girl for that. So the show that I'm on is called Creative Living with Lynn Lilly. We are on Facebook, we're on Instagram. We have a show that comes out every other week on Thursdays. The show that just aired, you get to see me being scared to death. We go through one of those fancy, like, you know, professional haunted houses, mm-hmm. which was like the most frightening thing ever. And yeah, so you get to see me, you know, shouting expletives at the people who jump out at you. And yeah, so
I saw something on, I think it was on Tumblr that was like, every haunted house should have a chicken night. Where yeah. nobody jumps out and scares you. They just, you just walk around and then somebody very politely explains the lore of whatever room you're in.
Oh my God. Oh, so yeah. So that would be the night that I would go, because literally right. I was dreading this little assignment that we had to do because no. for this very reason, because I'm just like, no, thank you. You know? Yes. And I'm just, mm-hmm. I know I'm the person who's like, please tell me your backstory.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. So you died in what year? Wow, great.
Exactly.
I was like, well, okay, if they're going to call it chicken night, then they need to also provide like some popcorn chicken when you walk in, and like each room has its own dipping sauce. That's what would get me to go. I love scary stuff and I love being scared, but actually I don't like haunted houses because I don't like jump scares. So I don't like somebody jumping out and screaming in my face. I'm always like, enough.
There is a reason why I have not been to a haunted house in over 20 years. And that experience completely reaffirmed my decision.
I was gonna say, now you're good. You don't have to go back for another 20
nope,
years.
I do not have to go back, because let me tell you, we went through there and we only did a third of the haunted house, but you can see the whole thing online mm-hmm. and it absolutely, there was almost a Code Brown situation. So yes.
I will absolutely link to your show and your channel, because yeah, I think that fandom and crafting usually go hand in hand, because unfortunately the world has not provided everything that we all need to
exactly
fully enjoy and immerse ourselves in our fandom experiences. So yeah, there's always something you need to make for yourself.
And that's the thing, is that especially, you know, when you do things like Dragon Con and things like that, yeah, you kind of have to, if you're a cosplayer, you definitely sort of have to have that craftiness about you. So
yes, absolutely.
Which I do that too, cosplay. And yeah, so.
Can you tell me some of your favorite cosplays that you've made?
So my absolute favorite cosplay was this year at Dragon Con. I was Princess Leia. Mm. My lifelong dream from when I was a kid, as Princess Leia. And it was the, like, it wasn't regular Princess Leia. It was the ceremonial dress from the end of New Hope.
I love that one.
The medal ceremony.
There. Yep.
I know. And so, yeah, so it was fantastic. And that has been my favorite. I did an Umbrella Academy cosplay and things, but Princess Leia is hands down my jam. So, oh,
so good. I have a TARDIS dress that I unfortunately did not make myself. I did make myself a TARDIS purse to go with it. I had there's a little blue pleather purse that I found. That's like the perfect dark blue Doctor Who. And so I turned it into a little police box. But my husband, for the first time in our entire relationship, shaved his beard and got a haircut to be David Tennant for me for Halloween a couple of years ago.
That is true love right there.
It was true love. His hair was very long and he got it cut David Tennant short and he shaved. I'll post the picture with the episode, but yeah, we were 10 in the TARDIS for Halloween a couple years ago.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That is a fun dress to wear.
Yes.
I'm going to say, I was like really ramping up my cosplay imagination ideas right as COVID hit, and so I was like, oh my god, cons have to come back soon because I have so many ideas.
Yes.
But I was thinking, because the problem I always find when going to cons, especially when you're in costume, is that they're so hot and there's so many people and they can get so uncomfortable, and it's like, but you work so hard and you want it to look so good the whole time. And so
it's hard to look good when you're just this sweaty mess of a person.
Like red faced and unattractive. Yeah. It's really hard. But I was like, I want to find, like, I need to think of something that would be recognized. You want to be recognizable, but you want to be comfortable, and you also need to have pockets.
Absolutely.
You can't carry, because most of the time, whatever you're doing, it's like, well, I can't be, you know, so-and-so, whoever it is, with a purse. Like, they don't have a purse. They don't have a bag. So,
as Princess Leia this time, I actually, I found a backpack, and all my geek girls know, you know, Loungefly, you know, and their wonderful little mini backpacks and things. Mm-hmm. And so I found one that was a white Princess Leia Loungefly backpack that had like the gold like rebel emblems on it.
Oh, and I was so good.
And it was perfect. Yeah, so that was what so this Princess Leia, she had a backpack. So yeah.
So the one that if I ever do get to go back to a con, which I need to because I miss that energy so much. I don't miss the sweating, but I do miss the energy, because I just feel like there's nothing like getting a group of excited fans together about anything. It's just like the best feeling.
Well, and you feel like I've found my tribe.
Yes, that's yes, exactly. Like, you just, oh, look at all of you people just walking around like this. I feel like you go to a con, you see everybody who they actually want to be, as opposed to who we have to be to go to work and all kinds of other obligations. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I think if I can get everything together and I can go find a convention I actually want to go to, I have a Ripley from Alien.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
With her perm, not with her like shaved head. I don't need to be Aliens 3 Ripley. The original Alien with her cute 80s perm.
Yes.
1979 perm. And then, because, you know, it's just like a one piece jumpsuit kind of a thing. And you just get the patches. You just get the patches. And then if I could find an orange cat backpack.
Oh my gosh, that would be great. Because
then I could just carry that around. And that's her cat, who she saves.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and see, you're thinking ahead. This is a good thing. Well, I go to Dragon Con where people have like some of the most amazing cosplays ever. Mm-hmm. And you know, I feel inadequate by association, you know, just going and you see all these things that people have done. Like I've literally seen like a Ripley, like in, you know, one of the mechanical, you know, the things that she's, that somebody made, like they literally
don't sell that at Walmart.
They made this thing, you know, that's like the mechanical, like I call it a front end load or whatever that thing is, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just like, whoa. Yeah. So
my favorite things that I've seen so many, mobility aid modifications that are so great. Like somebody turned their mechanical, like their electric wheelchair into a Doc Ock situation where they put like, they had like, they attached wheels to like 8 giant mechanical tentacle things. It was amazing. And I've seen people in like turn, you know, even just like their kids' wheelchair, or not wheelchairs, but like kids, like strollers and things into like dragons and giant like X-wing things and made their kids little pilots and stuff. It's so great.
Yeah, there was there was an older lady who unfortunately she's passed away, but this mm-hmm. she used to come to Dragon Con and she was in a wheelchair mm-hmm. and it was the Iron Throne. So
oh, that's so great.
Yes. Yes. So that was, that was always a good thing to see. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you for all of this wonderful backstory, Lori. I love it. I love getting to know you. But the way I lured you in, the chum that I put in the water was to get you here, was that we are going to talk about Doctor Who, which is one of your main fandoms.
Absolutely.
And then also just because now I'm a bad fan. I have not watched since Clara died. So since the end of whatever series that was with the 12th Doctor.
Okay.
So I am a little bit behind. Okay. But the thing about that I love about Doctor Who is you can kind of pick up at any point. And they're everywhere. So like they're on HBO right now. So I can sit down and I can watch the end of 12 and then all of 13 and get back to where we are now, which is the unexpected for me anyway, return of David Tennant as the 14th Doctor.
You should have heard the unholy noise that came out of my mouth as I watched that episode and watched the regeneration. There was a shriek of epic proportions. And I think that it was one of those hive mind, like you heard all the geeks of all the universes shrieking as one when we saw it. So, yes.
I have so many thoughts. I have so many feelings, but let's not work backwards. Let's go back to the beginning. So you said that Tom Baker was your first doctor when you were a tiny child.
Yes.
Now, have you have you followed pretty much since then? So there's always obviously the big break.
Right.
Is it in the 90s?
Yeah. So I have been watching, like, say, since, mid 80s, I guess, was mm-hmm. when I picked it up, maybe like 86, 87. Mm-hmm. And again, it was the Tom Baker. So, they were behind, obviously. But,
right.
So I got to watch those sort of as you could, you know, on PBS. I mean, mm-hmm. there was no streaming services or things like that back then. Right. So. So I've been watching it, you know, as consistently as possible throughout that whole time. So that was, so when it, you know, so when the show came back, with Christopher Eccleston, it was like, oh, I feel, you know, like, oh, I finally get some sort of a, you know, closure or, you know, opening a new door or something like that. So,
far as classic Who versus new Who, who is your favorite of the new Doctors?
Oh, well, David Tennant is hands down always be my absolute favorite. You always have a soft spot in your heart for your first Doctor.
Of course.
But I think But I think that the 10th Doctor sort of embodies everything about the Doctor that people like. So, yeah.
And I think that, I mean, and I, they've all had kind of pieces of this and shades of this, but I really feel like David Tennant's Doctor had that perfect mix of darkness and light that the Doctor embodies.
Absolutely.
I feel like Matt Smith kind of leaned a little too much into it sometimes. Like he kind of swung too far in either direction. Right. But I felt like David Tennant was always sort of walking that line, which is really hard to do as an actor. But also just, yeah, just really kind of embodied that constant sort of like that feeling of being haunted and the guilt and all that darkness that he carries around with him. And I thought, yeah, I think that he's really, you nailed it. He's like the embodiment of what we want from our doctors.
Absolutely. And you know, when you look at it, like when you look at Eccleston's Doctor, you know, he was a little darker, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because he was just coming from being the war doctor.
Right.
And yeah. And so I think that the 10th Doctor had a, you're right. He did walk that line, and we saw that, you know, that was where it was really like, you know, it's not good for him to be alone.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And then it's like the 11th Doctor then sort of swung more to the like silly side a little. Mm-hmm. I think because he had gotten like, he had almost gotten so far removed from the war doctor and the bad things that, you know, he sort of embraced that silliness.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the 12th Doctor came along, I think people were shocked when he sort of went back to the grumpy old man.
Yes.
That we saw sort of even with the first Doctor. Like, mm-hmm. to me, the 12th was so reminiscent of the first Doctor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sort of that grumpy, no-nonsense kind of attitude. And I think that a lot of people were, like, say they were kind of like, what? You know, because they had gotten so used to 11. And how he did things that when 12 came along, people were sort of put off by that. But
Well, and 11 was, he was on, well, I don't know that they all do three series, but it felt like 11 was longer, was there longer for some reason. Maybe he wasn't, but
yeah.
But yeah, so that switch from 11 to 12. And I think actually, and this is an unpopular opinion, but my two favorite companions, well, everybody loves Donna, so I don't feel like that's an unpopular opinion. But my second favorite, like super close second favorite, is Clara, as far as companions go. And I think it's because she was the one who had to be the companion, the transition companion.
Right.
And her, you know, she only had a half a season with 11, and then she had all this time with 12. And to see her go from kind of girl with a crush on this crazy, you know, fun, young, handsome man to, she loved 12 so much, but it was just such a deep friendship and a deep emotional connection that they have, you know, to go through all of that. And then how that all ended. And that was, I was like, I'm too emotionally fragile to keep going. I had to take emotional mental health breaks from Doctor Who.
Right.
Too much sometimes.
Yeah. Been there. So I'm telling you, when Amy and Rory left, I was like, please no one speak to me for at least a week. Thank you.
So. It's hard. You get so attached. It's amazing. I did not want to be a Whovian. I was like this, because I had experienced the show in the periphery. I knew everybody I knew liked it, and, you know, people would talk about it, and it didn't make any sense to me. I was like, how, why are you referring to these people as numbers? What are you talking about? Like, it's like, because I'm like, isn't it like a kid's show from the 60s? Why are you so obsessed with it? And people were like, you just have to watch it. And normally when enough people tell me that, I'm like, nope, I won't do it. Right. And when I finally gave in, I was like, oh no. It was like, I mean, I got, you know, I was, they were like, don't skip 9, and you start, you know, just start at the beginning and just watch. And I was like, this is such a weird show. What am I into? And then I got to, the, the doctor, is it? Well, it's the Are You My Mummy episode.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, well, I'm in this forever now, I guess, because I just bawling my eyes out.
Yes, because you get, you're emotionally, I know. That's the thing is that, you know, when people say, oh, I'd like to start watching Doctor Who, and you say, oh, well, okay, well, first of all, prepare yourself. And second of all, you know, and I tell people, start with Christopher Eccleston, because there's some people that are like, no, you can skip that. No. But then you have them watch the first episode, and it's the whole, like, plastic Mickey episode.
Yeah. Oh, is this how we have to start?
Right. And then you just sit there and you go, and you know that they're thinking, what have I done?
Yes.
Because the first couple of episodes are like so trying to find their feet, and, oh, and they're, and it's just epically terrible.
Say with their $16 budget that they have.
Yes. And then, but then you're like, okay, just wait until they get to, wait till they get to that episode, and then you'll go, oh, and it'll all start coming together.
Yep. Yep. And no, yeah, my Anglophile friend, she was like on the phone with her watching the second episode. I was like, Atri, I don't think this is for me. And she's like, stay with me. Just stick it out. Okay. She's like, That's always what I tell people.
Just stay with it. It's, I say, you know, watch it and then pretend those never happened.
And they just fade away because there are so many wonderful moments and so many huge emotional upheavals. And I've cried harder at episodes of Doctor Who than I have when, like, people in my life have died. And I'm not ashamed to say that.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, and I know that anyone out there who's watched Doctor Who, if you don't cry at the Van Gogh episode,
oh,
there is something fundamentally wrong with you.
You're a Horcrux. You have a piece of Voldemort living inside of you. Sorry. Exactly. Get that looked
at. Yes, you need to have your soul inspected, because that episode, I literally don't care how many times I've watched it, I will just absolutely sob when I watch it.
Every time. Every time. Yeah. I get about 45, like, or like 75% of the way through it. And I'm like, I'm doing okay. I'm okay. And and I know, same. I know what's coming. I know, I've seen it a million times.
It's like when I get there, and then, you know, and I'm like, yep, I'm doing fine. And then when they step out of the TARDIS, like in front of the museum, and they have, you know, and Van Gogh is with them, and the music is, forget it. Just forget it. I'm just like,
and just
pass me the tissues, because I'm done.
And I've made it to the point that there have been times that I'm like, I'm concerned because I'm watching him hear Bill Nighy speak and I'm not weeping. What's wrong with me? And then it gets to, I'm like, uh-oh, something's wrong. It's like a mental health check. I'm like, hang on.
Yeah, something's exactly. Wrong. Oh, what's
but
going
then,
on?
But then, you know, if I don't cry there, then it's like 10 times worse 30 seconds later when they go back.
Yes.
Without him, and it's everything is still the same. And I just, and she, you know, was expecting, you know, a whole new, you know, hundreds of new paintings, and does it that he, you know, he survived, like he lived dozens of more years because they did this for him. And, you know, when Matt Smith says that's not how it works. Life is not just a pile of good things and bad things, but if it was, you know, we contributed more to his good things, I think.
Yeah.
And just, and when, then like, I can't, I'm she, so choking up right now.
I know. I'm like, stop it. Yeah. And then, you know, when she's looking at the sunflowers and it says, you know, for Amy, yes. And then, you know, and when she says, our kids would have had really red hair, I'm like, oh God, like I can't, I just, yeah.
Yeah.
But that episode, if you are not crying, if you don't feel that little lump in your throat when you see that episode, just check yourself out. So
I think that episode, and then I also think when Ten has to take Donna's memory, I think is some of the hardest, because with Donna, that was so heartbreaking. I mean, it's always sad when the companions leave or die or, you know, something happens to them. But with Donna, that was so heartbreaking because she'd come so far.
Right.
And, it, you know,
and the fact that she was prepared to stay with him forever.
Forever. She was just, you know, her family knew she'd come back in for a little bit here and there, but she was going to be with him forever. And
yeah.
And he was so fine with that. He was like, great, you're my best friend. I want you to be here forever. And oh God.
Yeah. And then when she comes back in the room, mm-hmm. and you know, when she walks back in the room and she's like, oh, you know, I took a nap like a flipping kid. And, yeah. you know, and then she sees him and she doesn't recognize him. Like
at all.
You he can. Comes
in and she's on the phone. And yes. he's like, bye, Donna. And she's like, hey, bye.
Yeah, it's like you can. It's like if you listen closely, you can hear my heart ripping. Like,
it's God damn it, Catherine Tate. Just take my heart out of my chest and eat it in front of me.
Right? So, and so speaking of which, so I'm interested to see, circling back to the new, mm-hmm. so this, you know, the 60th episodes that are, you know, 60th anniversary episodes mm-hmm. that are coming up next year. So I'm interested to see how they are going to do this. Mm-hmm. because Catherine Tate will be back.
Yes.
You know, she and David Tennant filmed three episodes, oh you know, God. for this oh 60th God. Run. you know, hence him being, you know, officially considered the 14th Doctor. So, yeah, so they filmed three episodes. So I'm very interested to see how this is going to work. Like the last we saw of Donna, you know,
yeah.
She doesn't know who he is. So where are right. they coming from? Where is he coming from?
Yeah, that's just it, is that it's so, I mean, the way that they do their anniversary episodes, like we need to talk about the 50th because it's one of my favorites. Yes. But the way they do their anniversary episodes, when they bring people back in, it's always interesting to see how they're doing that, because I love Donna so much that even if they had given me, like, me personally, not the whole show, they've just given me personally, like, just the thought of, like, either 11 or 12 or 13 checking in on her.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Just even for a second, even for, like, a brief second. Like, she wouldn't even have to be there. They could have just shown, like, you know, the Doctor walking into the TARDIS and it's parked, like, near her house.
Yeah.
That we remember, you know?
Yes.
Something like that he or she was just in the area, just checking in on their best mate. But yeah, so I'm really curious to see what they do with Catherine Tate, because if she's back and they've filmed episodes together, I mean, he can't give her, she can't have her memory back because it'll kill her.
Right. Like- and that's the thing, is that, you know, there were so many questions, because it's like, you know, he shows up and he is dressed in a different outfit, mm-hmm. which, you know, normally when the Doctors regenerate, they're wearing obviously the previous Doctor's clothes.
Yes.
So, yeah. you know, why did he come fully formed? Like, you know, like right. why did he show up in this outfit that we've never seen before? Yeah. Is this some sort of alternate timeline, Dr. Donna? Like, I don't
know.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Oh, so many questions.
Right? Is this, you know, is this the Metacrisis Doctor, you know, who mm-hmm. is coming back from, you know, wherever he was with Rose, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah. But, and I loved the, I mean, obviously, you know, William Hurt will not be. Or John Hurt, rather, not William. Well, William Hurt won't be there either.
No, he won't be there either.
No, none of the Hurts will be there. But when John Hurt came as the War Doctor for was it the 50th? That feels like it just happened. So that makes me feel like time has happened so quickly.
Yes.
But yeah, so the 50th, when he was the War Doctor, and he was kind of at odds with himself in 10 and 11, when he. Especially when they each took out their screwdrivers and were pointing at whatever thing in the sky was talking. And he's like, why are you pointing those? They're screwdrivers. They're scientific instruments, not water pistols.
Right? And he's like, what are we going to do? Build a cabinet? Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's a screwdriver. What are you going to do? Build a cabinet?
It was, I know, because you see his sort of incredulous, like, what have I become? Mm-hmm. You know, and which was so fantastic.
When he was like, timey, wimey, do you all talk like children?
Exactly.
John Hurt, you're so old.
Yes. Yes.
You're such a wonderful old doctor.
Yeah, and it was, you know, Grandpa and Chinny and Sand Shoes.
Sand Shoes. Yeah.
Sand Shoes.
These aren't Sand Shoes. And John Hurt's like, the hell they aren't.
Right.
God, I love them so much.
Yes. And when, you know, but yeah, when he called 11 Chinny, like that just killed me. But no, that, the 50th episode was so fantastic. I saw it in the movie theater, you know, because they played it as, you know, they did like a limited thing, mm-hmm. in movie theaters. And so mm-hmm. I went to the movie theater to see it, and to be in a completely full movie theater with all these other Whovians watching this. And, you know, when they're showing these things and when Tom Baker was the curator of the museum, when he came out,
God,
talk about tears. Like I literally right. was like, oh, and you hear this collective just intake of breath from an entire movie theater. It was absolutely amazing. You know, when, it, you know, there's hundreds of people just all at once. It was great. So, I'm interested to see again, how they're going to do this and to what mm-hmm. extent a lot of, because I got emotional just in this last episode, seeing all the other doctors, mm-hmm. You know, seeing the fifth doctor and the sixth doctor and how they all came back. And it was like, oh my God. I mean, mm-hmm. so for somebody like me who watched all these and I feel like, you know, I know these people, to right. see them come back was just amazing. And the fact that, you know, that Tegan and Ace kind of got their closure with their doctor, mm-hmm. Because they didn't get that, you know, part of the whole episode was, you know, Tegan saying that, you know, it's been 40 years and I haven't heard a peep out of him and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And, you know, and like you were talking before, like just even if we had seen, you know, him checking in on Donna, like, yeah, you want them to check in on their person every once in a while.
There's a, and I don't know, I don't, and see, this is the problem though, is that I have not, the Who universe is so huge. There's movies, there's comics, there's all kinds of stuff. There's the show, obviously, which is also gigantic to mm-hmm. dive into. And then there's also the spinoff, so like the Sarah Jane Chronicles and things.
Right.
Have you watched those?
Yes.
Okay. Then you can answer this question for me. Did 11 show up in those at one point?
In
Sarah Jane.
Which ones? In Sarah? No.
Okay.
Because, yes, he was not, no, he was not there in Sarah Jane. No.
Okay. Then somebody on Tumblr has an emotional debt to pay to me because they made a very, very convincing manipulation of GIFs to make it seem like 11 went to visit Sarah Jane. Right. And it was so beautiful. And this is, of course, before I had experienced the show at all. I did not know anything that was going on. Mm-hmm. But that he had gone to see Sarah Jane and that he was telling, because she was saying something about how he does just leave people. That once right. he's done with a companion, that's it. Or once he regenerates, that's it. And he said in these gifts, you know, of course, none of this happened now. So right. I'm just telling you about a fan fiction. But he said, you know, last time before I regenerated, I went and checked in on every one of you. And yeah. I saw everything that you'd done and I was so proud. And I was like, why can't we have that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, now that I know it didn't happen, I'm like, what? Why would that have been so hard? Like, just right. give them a little closure. You are a millennia old god.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do that. You can. I promise you can.
Yes, you can give people a little bit of closure. here and there. I mean, I did love, I still actually, when I even, just when I think about it, obviously because the actress who played Sarah Jane is no longer with us, but the episode of with 10 where she comes back when they go to her school or whatever it is, where she has her cameo, where Sarah Jane has her cameo. Yes. And at the end where he holds out his arms for a hug and he says, "My Sarah Jane."
Yes.
And she runs to his arms and he swoops her up in this big hug. And I'm just getting teary just thinking about it.
Yes. When he says that, when he says, "My Sarah Jane," like I absolutely am just dead. And it's funny. So you were asking about 11 with Sarah Jane. Mm-hmm. No, you, because it has been a minute since I had watched any of these. Yes, actually he does. He does. Yes, he does make an appearance on, like, it's extremely brief. Mm-hmm. That 11 makes an appearance in the Sarah Jane Adventures. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had forgotten that he was on there for this like tiny little sort of cameo.
Tiny sliver, yeah. Yeah. All right, well, and that gives me a little bit of closure.
Not much, but a little. But yeah, he does appear on that. Because it's like it was a different character and he sort of turns into the doctor. And like mm-hmm. I say, it's a super short little piece. But yeah, so she does get to see him, you know, as 11 and yeah, but you're right. I just wish that we could, you know, we could all have the closure that we all need with these companions that with get these left companions. Behind. And
yes.
Yeah. And yeah. And so, like I said, that's why I really enjoyed this last episode, just strictly because mm-hmm. it was, you know, these people did get to see the doctor and the doctor got to see them and, mm-hmm. you know, and it was so nice. Yeah. Cause I want to know what they're all doing. Like, what are you doing now? So, you know, the ones that he left behind or the ones that left him. It's like, what are you doing now? Are you happy? Are you?
Well, like this just said, it's like you go spend a year of your life with a, like I said, millennia old God who can take you to anywhere in time and space. Yes. And then what do? You go back to work?
That's always the funny part. On?
Yeah.
That's always the funny thing. Like, especially when I see the episodes like of 11 with the pawns. Mm-hmm. You know, and Amy and Rory, they travel with him and then they just go back to life.
They do their jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
Rory's like, I got to shift to the hospital.
Right. He goes, you know, he goes and does, you know, he's a nurse and these things. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, how? Yeah.
So who were your favorite companions?
So absolute favorite companion, obviously, is Donna. Mm-hmm. I love Donna so much because she is just the sassy pants that everybody loves. And you know, like Sarah Jane had her own little spinoff. I would love mm-hmm. a Donna spinoff.
I would love a Donna spinoff.
So, in sort of the classic Who years, I loved Ace, with mm-hmm. the Seventh Doctor, just because she was so just badass. Can I say that on?
Oh, badass? Please. We swear all the time.
And so she, because, you know, there she is with her baseball bat and her guns mm-hmm. and she's, you know, she's very, take chargey kind of gal. And then, but surprisingly, one of the companions that I really, really enjoyed, and most people sort of gloss over her, like, because she wasn't on for very long or whatever, was I loved Bill Potts with the 12th Doctor.
Oh, yeah. No, she was great.
I loved her. I loved their relationship. Mm-hmm. Her relationship with the Doctor was so... it was so this like grandpa granddaughter kind of relationship that really mm-hmm. harkened back to the first Doctor with his actual, yes, you know, with his Susan, his actual granddaughter. And so I loved them. I loved Bill. I thought she was also, you know, sassy and fun. And, mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I just thought she was fantastic. And like I say, most people, you know, barely remember her. But I thought she was great.
Well, she was so much younger. I mean, I didn't follow that. Like I said, I didn't watch the end of 12 because I was so heartbroken about Clara.
Right.
But I did, I have seen a couple episodes and she just gives such more youthful energy. I don't know if she actually was younger than Clara, but she just has that really fun, youthful energy in comparison to the dark cloud with eyebrows.
Exactly.
That was Peter Capaldi. It was right? It was very refreshing. It was exactly what was needed after such a like emotional upheaval.
Yeah, and that was the thing is that she, because Clara sort of knew everything and there was nothing, like there was nothing really new that she could learn or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And then to have this new person who he could show all of these things to.
Right.
And be sort of this father figure, grandfather mm-hmm. type person. And it was just so, I mean, it was like, it was almost like you were Bill, like you could see things through yeah. fresh eyes again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I loved it. Absolutely loved her stint on there. It was great.
I also am always partial, despite being a shipping fool and this entire podcast being called I Ship It and always looking for new fictional characters to make kiss. I do love when there's no romantic tension between the Doctor and his companion.
Absolutely.
It makes for such a more enjoyable experience to me as a viewer.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that worked so well with the Doctor and Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Because she always acted like that is the most disgusting thought in the world for her.
she's wasn't like, even nice about it.
She's like, oi, spaceman. Like she, and when she's like, you're just this skinny thing, you know, and, so you know, while most of us, you know, mm-hmm. while a good portion of women out there are going, I would, you know, do anything to be with this man.
Right.
And she's
right.
like, and she's just like, oh, you're disgusting. So, and so that was always fantastic because there wasn't that, you know, the age old, will they or won't they,
yes.
yeah. you know, feel to things.
Well, and I think, you know, with Donna, now I feel like Martha Jones does get a bad rap because she came on right after Rose and I feel like they didn't know what they wanted to do with her and she didn't right. have, she was, I feel like she was a very underwritten character. She did not get the time and space that she deserved to
very
be.
Very much so because I loved Martha. I thought she was great and so many people are, you know, anti-Martha, but I think she was wonderful.
And the fact
that at the end she was able to stand up and say, I'm leaving yes. you.
Yes, because you are not good for me. Like
right, this... and you are never going to feel about mm-hmm. me the way that I feel about you. So yes. I'm going to take myself out of this situation.
Yes, that was a very powerful move for Martha to make and for a companion to make as well. I feel like with all the Martha antis, and I feel like, you know, people are probably coming around because – we're all sort of evolving on the internet together in the way we think about, especially about female characters. But after Rose being such a fixture for so long, I feel like mm-hmm. anybody who came after Rose was never going to be as well received. And I think it was probably the wrong choice for them to make Martha also develop feelings for the Doctor because.
Well, yeah, because I think people were still sort of, people's emotions were still sort of raw from that.
Right.
You know, that split from, you know, from Rose. Mm-hmm. And so I think most people were just like, I don't want to see anything romantic. So I right. automatically hate Martha. But
exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing with Donna being so, so repulsed by the yes. idea of being in a romantic relationship with the Doctor. I mean, my favorite moment is when he's like trying to explain to her like, hey, yeah, you can travel with me, but we just have to be friends. And he's like, I just want a mate. She goes, you just want to mate? Well, you're not mate with me, spaceman.
And he's like, a mate. That is the best. Like, I love it because she just looks like, you know,
excuse me.
Yes, like that is the most repulsive thing that she could ever think of. Meanwhile, you know, we're all sitting at home going, you know, yes. But
you can mate with me, David Tennant.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, I mean, that is, he's, I have to say, he is my number one, you know, celebrity sort of crush.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got to meet David Tennant in real life.
Did you?
Yes. And
I've seen the pictures, actually. Yes. You showed me the pictures, and
yeah,
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so I actually got to meet David Tennant, and that was like the best 30 seconds of my existence. It was one of those, like, I literally felt like I was about 12 years old, where I was like, I never want to wash this shirt again. Because he was just so, like, beautiful in real life and, like, amazing. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of meeting David Tennant, you have met how many doctors in real life?
What did I say? Seven, I think?
Seven? I think you've said seven.
I believe it was seven. Yeah. So, yes, in real life. So I have met, the fifth doctor, Peter Davison, mm-hmm. Sixth doctor, Colin Baker, eighth doctor, Paul McGann, ninth doctor, Christopher Eccleston, 10th, uh-huh. of course, David Tennant. I have met Matt Smith, and Peter Capaldi.
You're practically a companion, basically. I think if you get to eight, they give you companion status.
Exactly.
So.
It's also, speaking of companions, so I have met Bill Potts, Pearl mm-hmm. Mackey. She was great. Who else? Donna. So yes, mm-hmm. I did meet Catherine Tate, and she was wonderful. I met who else? River Song. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got to meet Alex Kingston and John Barrowman. So, Captain Jack for the Captain Jack lovers out there.
Oh, we love Captain Jack.
And he was amazing. And when I met him, he was dressed as Wonder Woman. He was dressed as Wonder Woman. He was wearing a pair of like 4-inch white high heels. He was lovely.
Oh, my God. If I could have a 1% of the confidence that John Behrman has and the self-love that that man walks around with, I would be unstoppable. He is such a force of nature. I love him so much.
He is. And for people who, if you've ever seen him somewhere, like at a con or something, Captain Jack really is not him acting, honestly, I don't think. Like, that is just his... I think that's just his personality.
Right. Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, yeah, you know, everybody's hot and, you know, it's one of those things. So
there was a panel I saw where I think he was moderating the panel, but it was with a couple of the doctors at some big Doctor Who convention.
Mm-hmm.
And David Tennant came out, was introduced, and David Tennant came out and like kissed him fully on the mouth.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Oh, he is, he's unbelievable at conventions.
Yes.
And I will go to, you know, to Dragon Con or other things. And if John Barrowman is there, whatever mm-hmm. panel he is doing, I go to it, no matter how many times I've seen him, just strictly because you never know what's going to happen with him. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. So you're just like, I'm waiting. But so. I think you're right. I think if I make it to eight doctors, I should be officially in the canon as a companion.
I think, yeah. I mean, you're halfway right now. You've met half of the doctors. So if you get to eight, I think you've made it. You're officially a companion. So
I would
pursue that with the creators of Doctor Who and be like, listen, I'd like my vanity license plate, please, and my discount card, whatever that gets me into.
Yeah. See, they should have like a Doctor Who like punch card system. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you meet a doctor, your card gets punched. And
exactly.
You can turn this card in for a free role on the show.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
I'm all for it. I think this should be a thing. Hello. Start sending in your petitions now, people.
Right. Yeah. We're going to make something on one of those petition websites and we'll see what happens. Oh, man. All right. Well, we are at the at the hour point, so I figured we could maybe talk about these fanfics that I sent you last night. Did you get a chance to read them?
I did.
Okay, good. This funny thing with Doctor Who, it is, I don't know that if I was reading on a site other than AO3, I would have gotten into Who fiction, because there's so many characters and there's so many pairings and there's so many possibilities of pairings and things. So it is nice to be able to, because I just always have to plug how wonderful AO3 is. The filtering system is second to none. So right. It is so wonderful to be able to filter exactly what I wanted to read or what I want to read at any moment. But now I did the thing I always do where we talk about our favorite companions is always Donna. And I never find Donna fic. I never find Donna fic. So I did not find any Donna fic today also. But I have two. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about the first one, the doctor with little Amy.
Yes. Okay. So this one is called The Care and Feeding of Tiny Humans and Slightly Larger Time Lords by Netgirl Y2K, which you get Netgirl Y2K. You get the award this week for best pen name because you took me back to the early internet. Yes. That is an AOL screen name if ever I saw one. So yep. Well done. So The Care and Feeding of Tiny Humans is, like Lori said, it's about the 11th Doctor. If he had come back when he meant to for Amy when she was 8.
Right.
Not when she was 18. So what did you think of this fic?
Okay, so I absolutely loved this. The thought of 11 with a tiny Amy. Mm-hmm. Just like the minute I started reading it, like my brain just went, oh, like how incredibly cute would this be? And especially like because I got the mental picture of the little girl that played young Amy on the show and her adorable little face and her little Scottish accent. And she's so cute. And, you know, and the fact that she is little and that. You know, that he's having to put her up, you know, stand her up on a box to reach the console and all. Oh, yes. I was like, this is a whole spinoff that needs to happen.
That needed to happen. Absolutely. Yeah. It was so adorable. They went on all kinds of adventures and he kept saying, and I also did like that this didn't steer away from how alien he actually is. Yes. Because he kept saying, he's like, when are you going to get any bigger? He's like, here, I have a machine. Let me just pop you in there and you'll just get a little bit bigger. And she was like, I'm getting bigger every day. And he's like, not fast enough.
Yeah. He's like, when, you know? Yeah.
And
the fact that they're like, that he thinks, you know, that it's absurd that somebody has to, you know, that they think that somebody has to look after her. Like, she's looking after me, you know, right, and she's this tiny little thing. And, and that he doesn't know how old she is. Like,
right.
Because, you know, well, obviously
what that means. Yeah.
Right. So he's, you know, obviously he's a Time Lord. He's, you know, however old in this iteration. And, you know, and it's her, and she says, you know, it's her birthday or whatever in this one little part of it. And she wants ice cream for her birthday. And, and the man says, how old are you? You know, how old is she? And he's like, 114. Like he has no clue.
He has no idea.
Yes. And you know, she's like, no, I'm 8. And he's like, yeah, close enough. I mean, I just thought that was adorable because it does show him as, you know, and we forget that he is newly 11. Like,
right.
You know, he had been 11 all of, you know, 5 minutes. At this point. And you know, and so it was so cute. It's like two little kids just seeing the world together. And so I loved it. So so kudos to the person who wrote this because so I just thought that was so cute.
It was so cute. And then there was also one point where somebody said, she's only 8 years old. And he's like, she's 8 years old. That's old enough to vote on Earth. Wait, no. Yeah.
And he's like, that wrong. He's like, well, some places,
some places that's old enough to vote. So that was, it was just really sweet and fluffy. So well done, Netgirl Y2K. Of course, there's always a link to these stories if you want to go back and read them in the show notes. But then the next one, the other one that I sent was a 13th Dr. Fic, which surprised me that I surprised myself by how much I love this for a doctor I didn't watch at all. It's called, so we'll give a props to Lord Huron for this title, but I Had All and Then Most of You, Some and Now None of You by Closing Doors. And it was a story of the doctor, the 13th doctor and River Song. What did you
think? Okay. So I adore River as a character, and the fact that, you know, they are married, you know, the doctor and River are married in whatever iteration the doctor is in right then, you know, you know, because obviously we've seen her with 11 and, you know, we saw her a few minutes with 10 and, and then, you know, with 12 and, and so you think, well, I mean, you know, obviously even as the 13th doctor, as a woman, like they're still married. So, and so it was, I just thought it was so beautiful. Like
I did too. Yeah.
I absolutely thought it was gorgeous. You know, the way that they show them sort of coming back together and kind of like, learning each other. And learning each other as two women versus the man and woman aspect of it. And I just thought it was so nice. Like it was just, it was great.
Yeah, it was. It was beautiful. And I loved the sort of transcendental idea of love between River and whatever, in whatever form the doctor takes.
Right.
And, you know, also the part that just kind of broke my heart when she said, when 13 said, you know, come on then, one more adventure, just you and me, let's go anywhere you want to go, I'll take you. And River said, you know, I'm just an echo. I'm not really.
Yes.
Here. Yeah. And, you know, and she said, like, we've had all our adventures. We can't, you know, you can't go back in time and save me again. Like you can't keep doing, we can't keep doing this. This, I'm just here. I just wanted to see you one more time.
Yeah.
And River's story was very confusing to me.
Yeah.
Like trying to follow the actual timeline of what happened with River and like everything, like, is very confusing, but the general idea of River is so beautiful and so just like heart wrenching that they're that they traveled backwards in time towards each other.
Right. That first, you know, time the he doctor met her, is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That the doctor is moving forward and she's going backward.
Yes.
Yeah. And when the, and they meet basically at the end.
Yes.
You know, when she meets. And you're just like, oh. And so this really, so this piece just, that's why I thought it was just so beautiful, because it's, even though, it's so bittersweet, because you know already what's happened. Like, you know that River is already, you know, gone or and all that. And, you know, but the fact that they do get to spend that last little bit of time together.
Yes. Yeah.
And I loved it. And the fact that they both had, you know, they had River's diaries, you know, in that plays a part in the story, and they're reading the diaries and things. And it's just like, oh, it's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about River, and I think about the idea that just when, because we experience River the same as the doctor does. So, you know, to think of the other side of, she's known this man her whole life and they've been in love. They have this torrid, crazy, you know, hundreds of years long relationship basically. And then, you know, at some point, and when she sees him, like he's getting younger and younger. And every time she sees him, and then at some point she's going to see him, and she realizes, she knows that at some point she's going to see him and he's not going to know who she is.
Right.
And the day that that happens is, you know, when she's dying.
Yeah.
The first time we meet her and she's dying and she says, you know, that means you've always known that you've always known what was going to happen to me and you never told me.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what are you talking about? He has no idea who she is. And that was so confusing. I was like, what is going on? The first time I watched that. And then when you, after you've watched the whole thing, and if you go back to the library episodes, just kill me.
Yes.
Just kill me that she shows up with all this confidence and all, you know, she throws their catchphrases at him and he has no idea who she is.
And and when she pulls out, you know, sonic screwdriver, mm-hmm. and he's like, where did you get it? She's like, you gave it to me or whatever. And you're just like, oh, yeah, it's
what?
Uh-huh.
That was, I love a long game like that in a series. I love it. Yes. I love when they mess with my emotions like that. I was like, yes. That is good stuff.
And then in this piece of fan fiction, you know, when at the end they're in the, you know, it's in the library. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Ugh. And I was just like, I'm like, this is tugging at my heartstrings too much. I don't like it.
No, I was like, wow, I'm really sad.
Yes. Yeah. And what's funny is like, and you were able to appreciate it, even though you hadn't seen the 13th Doctor, mm-hmm. like, because I think that, well, first of all, this is a really, really good, you know, written piece.
Yes.
And the fact that because we know that relationship between River and the Doctor, you don't have to know the 13th to work.
Yes, exactly.
It works on every level because you know that their relationship sort of transcends all of that.
Yes. So. Yeah. Yeah. And I love the idea of River being so in love with the Doctor, no matter who or what they look like. It's just beautiful. It's a really great message in general of, you know, this, that, and that she doesn't really skip a beat with each generation.
No, like there's,
she
no,
always that, knows who they are.
Yes. And the fact that she doesn't care. Yeah. It's just, you know, okay, he's hot young man. Great. He's grumpy old man. Great. He's, you know, he is, he's a woman. She's a woman. Great.
She's like, a woman. Yeah. I mean, the fact that she's Jodie Whittaker, not bad, but.
Well, exactly. You know, it's not like we would, you know, kick her out of bed for eating crackers or anything. Right. So, but I do, I think that it speaks to their relationship that it's not based on what they look like, that it is,
right.
It does get to the heart of the Doctor is the same person no matter mm-hmm. what.
Yes.
That is an overriding message in the whole show anyway, mm-hmm. is that no, you know, no matter what the Doctor looks like, they're still the same. And so, yeah, which that's one of the things that I love so much about the show anyway, is that even though the outside changes, the inside is still,
yes,
is still good. And I think that's one of the things that speaks to so many people.
Right.
Out there, you know, I have friends who are, you know, who may be transgender or they are, mm-hmm. you know, non-binary or they're questioning or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a good message. And I know that it speaks to them because they're like, hey, that's, you know, that's how it works.
Right. Yeah.
And which I love, I think that's mm-hmm. fantastic. So, yeah.
Well, this was fantastic to take a page out of Mr. Eccleston's book.
Exactly.
It was fantastic. Thank you so much, Lori, for joining me. This was a wonderful, wonderful new friend to have met and learned so much about.
Well,
thank you so much for coming.
I'm so excited to be here. And this is the fact that I can just talk about, you know, fandom things is amazing because, like, there's not many places that I can do that. you know, I have like my core little group of friends that, mm-hmm. you know, but otherwise mm-hmm. like people I work with and stuff, they just look at me like, okay, you know, so to have an outlet to talk to somebody and, you know, just spit out everything is fantastic.
Well, you are more than welcome to come back, talk about whatever you want. Just send me a message and I will get us a room and we can chat about whatever you want. All right.
Awesome. I am up for it. And yeah, so hopefully people haven't tuned out because they're like, I can't stand to listen to this woman's southern drawl so any longer.
No, it's delightful. I'm proud of myself that I did not slip into a southern accent by proxy, which is what happens a lot of the time.
Everybody does. It's so funny. And I always tell people that's how you know that I am speaking correctly, because people just fall into it. So, but yes, if you want me back, I will gladly
absolutely
return.
Absolutely. Come back anytime you want. And now that I have you following me on Tumblr, if you ever mm-hmm. see me post something that says like, hey, I want to talk about this and you want to talk about it, I will just, you just send me a message. We'll be like, yes, absolutely.
Yes, I'll ASAP. Do it. Of course.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lori. Everybody else, enjoy these fics. Enjoy this changing, reinventing of the guard for David Tennant back in Doctor Who. If you've managed to go this far into time without experiencing Doctor Who, you have a lot to catch up on and so much to enjoy. But in the meantime, have a wonderful couple weeks. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And above all else, get your shit together.